Hey guys, how you doing? Uncle Steph here. So I have somebody in my mentoring group who is a professional developer. Since I'm not revealing names, I'll be able to reveal some details. So he's 32, he makes 150K a year, and he wants to make more money because he's very greedy. No, he's not greedy, he's smart. He's smart about things. So he is in an expensive area of the US, so he's looking at buying a piece of property because rent and housing is expensive, so he has these goals. He's got about 100K saved up, but he wants to get to a half a million within the next few years. So he has his job A, where he's making 150, and he wants to go to job B, and where it was not as much, but still pretty good money because he just wants to keep saving and accumulating, which is a smart thing to do. When you are in your 20s and 30s, that's the maximum learning years, especially your 20s. 30s, you start earning, but he's really ahead of the game. You know, he's a little impatient right now, and we're going to go over an email he sent me with some questions he had related to all this. So I'm going to lay out in this video a track and a way of thinking about all this so that I think you'll find it useful. So yeah, it's good to make money when you're younger. The earlier you start investing and saving, the better off you're going to be. So I advised him to not take that second job because there was a bit of a conflict. So that's cool. He made the right choice and did not do that. Remember what I talk about all the time. Protect your reputation. Protect your reputation. Your reputation is worth more than money in the bank unless you got 100 million or something. Why is it worth more? Because when you have a good reputation, people trust you and they know you and they like working with you and you're known around town or around the interwebs, wherever you happen to run around. Your ability to get new jobs, to start new businesses, to work with others and so on, collaborate with others is huge. That's one of the reasons why if you were to go to college, and I'm not a huge advocate of college, but one of the only reasons to go to a high-end college and to pay all that money, I'm talking the Ivy Leagues, is contacts, right? All the richies send their rich kids to the Ivy League schools because it's all about looking good, face, as they say in Japan. But the real important thing is not so much what you learn there, because you can learn anything that you can learn at Harvard or Yale or any of these places. You can learn on your own or through mentors like me. The big thing that these colleges provide still is the contacts, being in the old boys group, the old boys network, meeting and becoming friends and friendly with other people who are well connected. Makes a big difference. So I'm not here to advocate going for college. If you're going to have to go into massive debt, unless it's in something that is guaranteed huge income, then I wouldn't do it. I think personally, I'll get to this email now, but I think personally 80% of programs in colleges are big thumbs down. Anything in the humanities and the arts. The subjects in of themselves can be valuable. I got great value out of my electives in university, whether it be anthropology, a little bit of economics, et cetera, and so on. But at the end of the day, these soft skills, these areas of study that are not directly related to making money, I would learn those on their own because there's no point having a degree. But the contacts that you may accrue going to Harvard, Yale, and MIT and all these places could have value. There's no question about that. But anyway, enough of that. So we'll go back to this guy. I got his email here. And we're going to answer the question. So the main goal here is to make the cash, to make the argent. Thanks for the reassurance. It's hard for me to see it that way since I'm so far behind my goals and where I hope to be at 32. So he's 32, as I said. He's making very good money. He's got, I think he said he had about 100K saved up. And he's doing pretty good as far as I'm concerned. You see, one of the key things you want to do in your financial life, if you will, is to get that first 100,000 saved and invested as quickly as possible because it starts being able to earn for you. When you got 100 grand, it's making you, we'll say for the sake of argument, $10,000 a year. It's $10,000 a year, about 900 bucks a month you're earning from your money for doing nothing. So when you get to 200,000, all of a sudden you're doing $20,000 a year for doing nothing, and it incrementally grows. When you're younger, you want to work as hard as you can to get that first 100K saved up. it starts to really impact on things for you. Anyway, so he's way ahead, but he wants to still get even further ahead. He turned down the second job because of various reasons, which was a good move, because by turning down the second job, it helps better with his reputation. So he's looking at other opportunities here, he's suggesting to me, in terms of making more money. How can he make more money while keeping his first job without burning any bridges? Right now, I'm in the mood to execute on something immediately. I've been researching a few options. Do you have any opinions on these? Any that you'd recommend, against or favor? So see, he's doing a good job here. He's examining his opportunities and his options. All right, email marketing, building lists, selling products. Email marketing is a, I wouldn't make that your focus unless you want to become the next MailChimp or something, or GetResponse. Unless you want to get into the email marketing business, you use email marketing to support some business that you have or you're building. So he's, this is a very generic thing, email marketing, building lists, selling products. What products are you going to sell? How are you going to build the list? This is a very committed process because you have to build an audience. You have to give reasons for people to want to join your list. And you do that by providing some value. What products are you going to sell? You don't want to go down the path of being selling generic products, somebody selling t-shirts or hats or something like that. Why do I say that? Because it's commoditized, right? Anybody in his neighbor could do this. So why do you want to jump in a market that has a very low barrier to entry? Meaning you're going to have tons of competition. He's in a good position now because he's got a highly valued skill set, a software developer, making good money out of the gate. So why would you put your time into a more commoditized business, email marketing, selling products? You have to have a product. The email marketing is not the business, unless you want to get into business with email marketing. You use email marketing to promote your actual business, if that makes any sense. Number two, online marketing, again, goes with email marketing. Email marketing is part of online marketing. I guess he means social media marketing and so forth. Again, you have, those are tools to make sales, to make, to build awareness of a brand or a product you're selling. You got to, it's kind of putting the cart before the horse, as they say. You want to figure out what product or service you're going to bring to market. Then you start looking at online marketing, email marketing strategies. Unless, of course, you want to start an online marketing agency, which is a whole different business. It's a whole different business. Again, that's kind of becoming a commoditized business because the barrier to entry to that, perceptually anyway, is low. You know, you got 22-year-old girls and guys doing this type of stuff. You know, because posting images and with hashtags is, it's not exactly, you know, super complex. But building full-fledged applications, web apps from scratch, that's has some complexity there. That's why it's more valuable. Next, building a crypto exchange, a crypto arbitrage bot, not a trading bot for price discrepancies on exchanges. Yeah, that's, see, crypto to me is like, before crypto, there was mining stocks, basically little hyper niche investments where if you hit the right one, it's like a lottery ticket. And yeah, some people have made lots of money on crypto and various crypto strategies, like creating an arbitrage bot, which, you know, there's probably 10,000 out there. But most lose money. So I would say no to that unless you are a master of the crypto world and you do see an obvious discrepancy, an obvious arbitrage, an obvious thing you could take advantage of. I don't know much about that, but I like to stay out of markets where there's a lot of hype and there's a lot of competition. Becoming a senior software engineer requires a lot of work for something that's 30%, 50% increase, nowhere near 400K. So he doesn't want to up his career because he sees a slow burn to get up there. I would say, since it's already making you pretty good money, I would continue to build on that while on the side exploring other opportunities. So that's my take on that. Next one, freelance software development, realistic earning potential, platforms like Upwork. That's his best bet. Whether it be freelance development or short-term contracts, that's the best bet. Freelance is probably the best bet in terms of flexibility, because when you freelance, you're able to set when you work, how you work, with whom you work, what technologies you work on. So it gives you a lot of flexibility. So he can keep his full-time job where he's making the base salary, which is pretty good. And then from there, he can work on side projects without having any potential conflicts with the full-time job. The key to being very successful in the freelance game is to have really efficient workflows, understand how to bid for contracts so that you're making maximum money per hour. You know, I've talked about this and I teach this in my course on this stuff. Again, everything I talk about here is all personal experience, not theoretical. If you understand the freelance game well enough, you can pick and choose your projects and your clients that align with your workflows and what infrastructure you've put into place so that you can make very, very, very good money per hour. So even on little $1,000 gigs, if you're doing a $1,000 gig and it takes you 3 hours to complete, that's $300 the hour. That's equivalent of making $600,000 a year if it was full-time work. So that's what you want to do. And I think because he has the required skill set, the development skill set, that is relatively sophisticated, if he learned proper freelance techniques and processes, and that has to do how you execute on the jobs, how you price the jobs, how you manage the client expectations and the relationship, you can make a lot of money there. To me, that would be my best choice, my preferred choice. Short-term contracts, it's similar to freelance, except it's when you're on a short-term contract, typically you're working for a larger medium-sized to larger company or organization. They'll hire you for 6 months, 12 months. And you're basically just a short-term employee. They'll say, okay, you're going to work on this project. You're working with this team. You're going to do this, this, and this. And they have you come in for X amount of hours per day or whatever. It's much more regimented and controlled environment. Contract work could be very lucrative because you're short-term. Just like with short-term rental, they're going to pay you a lot more. Whereas a freelance, it's a little bit more chaotic initially, and it requires more skills in terms of the business end. You have to wear many hats, meaning you're going to have to do many different things, but you have a lot more control over the dynamics of the project that you're working on or the projects. So short-term contracts and freelance are both very viable. Last one he puts here, let's go back. That's what he puts, YouTube. Ideas, but unsure about being on camera. Thoughts? Okay, so I know YouTube fairly well. I got 260,000 subs. Been doing it for years. It was a hobby. It's still kind of a hobby. YouTube is not even close to being a primary source of money making. It's not even close. But it's fun for me. It's a hobby for me, and it's taken me years to get to whatever level of skill I have at it now. And I should have hired somebody. You see, if I was going into YouTube, I would say I would hire a consultant who knows YouTube well. And I'm not selling my book here because I don't do that kind of consulting. I could, but I don't. And I would hire a consultant who knows YouTube well, who knows social media well, so that you can understand how to set up the channel, how to figure out what are you going to talk about and what the subjects, how to present, hire somebody who understands cameras and different options you have, when to use one or the other, how to shoot, how to light properly. There's all kinds of different things you got to do in social media marketing, and well, just having YouTube, becoming a social media person or personality, shall we say. It's viable, but the low-hanging fruit have passed, meaning it's becoming more and more difficult due to competition. I'm not against it, but it's a long-term thing. Some people blow up. Most people, like for me, I started the channel. Well, I kind of started. One of my assistants started a channel for me in 2008, I think it is. You can go back and look at those crappy videos. Great knowledge, horrible presentation. Took a long time. Yeah, it took a long time. Of course, I wasn't, you know, I put it up. We put it up in 2008. And then I just kind of forgot about it. I posted a few videos and had one of my guys throw up a whole bunch of videos from courses of the time. I forgot about it for years, and then I got back onto it. And I got back onto it not to become a YouTuber, but just to give me a place to put videos up because I wanted to get comfortable with the camera. Again, If you do decide to go social media routes, you know, I would either hire a consultant, and they'll take years off, you know, they'll save you years and lots of money in the end, and you'll be able to launch that thing a little bit more effectively than I did, that's for sure. You see, for example, I'll give you one example, just with cameras. I have literally spent tens of thousands of dollars on cameras and lenses. And if I were to do it today, if I were to consult someone, I could get you up and running with a beautiful setup for, you know, $1,000. You know, maybe if you want to really go crazy, $2,000. I spent the tens of thousands. How much did I spend on cameras and lenses? Could be $25,000, $30,000. And you say, how could you spend that? Cinema cameras. The cinema camera right here is, I don't know, it's about $5,000-$6,000. This one here is like $4,000-$5,000. The lenses are like $1,500. Anyway, there you go. So that's my take. If you are an experienced software developer, I would go for option freelance software development and short-term contracts because you have that high level of skill there. And that's it, man. That's what I would do personally. Of course, that's pretty much what I did. So I didn't have a job working for somebody. I sold my first business, which had nothing to do with technology. Then I started freelancing, expanded that to a little business, Studio Web. My learning SaaS was at first a web design studio, Studio Web, right? And I got a whole bunch of contracts there. After a few years of that, I don't know how many years it was, but it was several years. I got bored of that and I started building SaaS products and started doing course material, writing articles, all kinds of different things, selling my ideas. I had a dating site, I had a site checker app, I had courseware, classroom management systems, a classroom management system in Studio Web. So I've done a whole bunch of different things. And fortunately, I'm in a good position where it's largely driven by what I want to do. So that's another thing. I'll leave you with that. When you're looking for a side hustle, you're looking to increase your skills, make sure that what you're doing is in a niche environment, meaning the barrier to entry is higher. You don't want to have 10,000 competitors. Number two, you want to find something that aligns with the type of work that you want to do. You know, you may think that C++ coding is fantastic, but if you don't like it, even if it is very, very money-making, if you don't like it, life's going to be sucky. So choose something that you like. Take your time. Meanwhile, don't forget, save every month. If at the end of every month, if your bank account is not growing, you got to put on the red alert. I recommend that you try to get up to the point where you're saving 20, 30, 40% a year, if you can, of your income. I know it's easier said than done, but that's where you want to go so you can hit a retirement really easily, really easily. Be patient. Don't look for the Hail Mary lottery ticket, Bitcoin buying 10 years ago route. Try to be a little bit more careful about how you, more methodical, more consistent, more careful about how you reach wealth. The vast majority of people, millionaires, become millionaires, is doing what I suggest. All the things I just suggested. They make more money than the average person. Sometimes not too much more, sometimes a little bit more, but they save and invest, they live below their means, add in eating healthy, exercising on a regular basis, having a good psychological environment. If you're around people that are toxic to you, let them fade away, stay calm, be zen, and life will be good. All right, I hope you find this useful.